And he's going to make a statement. That's the last person I want to have make a statement for me.
Yeah.
He doesn't understand it. He doesn't understand the business, and he doesn't understand where this league came from.
He doesn't even understand how to write on Twitter.
And he doesn't. Sean O'Hara made a
point. He doesn't have enough money to reference that.
Yeah. I mean, I was having a heck of a time trying to decipher and read what he was actually trying to say on Twitter during the rant yesterday afternoon. And then last night, when we were getting off the air, our intern came running in saying, "Oh my God, Adrian Peterson's at it again." It's like, dude.
Yeah, he just won't.
Enough internet for you today. Time for you to go take a nap.
Well, we also have to understand what Adrian Peterson was up to before the season began last year, before any of this came out, was that he was having conversations with Jerry Jones about wanting to play in Dallas and somehow getting out of his contract to go play with Dallas. I don't know what they thought they were going to do, but he had an illegal conversation with Jerry Jones.
Yeah.
Well, someone tell me what that meant.
And how Jerry Jones didn't get penalized for that.
Yeah. Yeah,
because
he
didn't self-report.
And the fact that Adrian wants to come back here nothing's wrong with the Vikings. Oh, everything's fine with the Vikings, just money. No, you wanted to play for the Dallas Cowboys before the season started. Is it because he knew he was already in that trouble that he was in down there? The grand jury was you know, he was going to, he went to two hearings, right? He was allowed two grand jury hearings.
Yeah.
What part of that made him think, I'll never be able to go back to the Vikings after this blows up, and I may as well try and camp here in Texas where at least people understand the culture?
Well, the first grand jury, though, let him off the hook, right, Marsh? They said there wasn't enough evidence, and then I think they got more evidence, and they brought it back to the grand jury, and
that's
something,
right.
something had changed, and then the grand jury ended up indicting him.
Well, for me, the thing, just stepping out of the law for a second, the thing that I really kind of respect now, looking in hindsight, is the Viking management, because we are all second-guessing Mrs. All. They're saying one thing, and they're doing another, and behind the scenes, this trade's going to happen. You know what? It sounds like management sat down months and months ago and said, here's the way we're going to, we want him back, we're not trading him, we're going to try to trade him, we're going to honor our contract, and we're going to go forward, and by gosh, they stuck with that. And I really think that's pretty classy by them to have a game plan follow the game plan, and now AP's spitting in their face. And
I wonder if that's really how it happened, though.
It could, but if it did, I'm
because
just, that'd be
if
pretty
they
cool.
Really, if they were to be offered a package that would blow them away, they would have traded him in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
And so once they weren't doing that, they just, you know, Rick Spielman, who's brilliant at what he does, who's smoke screening and trying to get the most assets he possibly can, I think they maybe kind of fell into that once there weren't any offers.
I think it's a smart cards. I mean,
either way,
playing poker.
Yeah, I agree.
It's smart either way. When you weigh into all the options you could have or could deal or could not work, apparently not work, any deals, is that they played the best hand they had still. And that's, we still have the best running back in the league. Yeah. We still have him for 3 years on contract.
But
we're
going to
make him play.
He's also the highest paid
running back.
He better be the best.
Yeah, and we're going to make him play for it. And that was the hand that was sort of forced by this whole case. And the lack of interest to pay big time or to trade big time to get him, because everyone knows he's a 30, 31-year-old running back with injuries, a history of injuries that are pretty severe. Oh.
But what about, I mean, what is it? There was an article by Tom Pelissero in the USA Today, I believe it was yesterday. What about the fact, though, that the Vikings organization, Zimmer, Spielman, even the Wolves, everybody bending over backwards, going down to his house in Houston, then flying him, even though they made him fly commercial to New York to meet with the Wolves. But it seems like...
I remember that.
That was the best part.
That was
but
funny.
It seems like the Vikings have... As smart as they've handled such a bad hand, if we're talking poker here, they've handled the bad hand the best that they possibly could. But neither side looks very good right now. Obviously, Adrian Peterson just needs to stop it. But the Vikings, isn't there a better way that they could have handled the situation?
I don't think so. I don't know what that would be. They let it play itself out, which is all you can do. Now, there is no bluffing. There is no bluffing. You're going to play, or you're going to sit, and we know, they've already looked into every scenario. We know you're going to play, because it's $12.75 million, and you love to play, because you're about Adrian Peterson, and you want to chase down Emmett Smith. You have to have games to do that. Guess what? You have 3 more years with us.
Sure, but looking at all these different scenarios, if they did, how can they, and this was in the USA Today article, how can they say that Peterson's unhappiness won't eventually haunt them? I mean, it's haunting him right now, but once you get into the season, something terrible could happen. We've seen the Vikings crumble on sillier things than this situation.
Well, this is all they could have done. I don't know, Marsh, what do you think? I mean, I think that Adrian comes back, and as long as he's averaging 5.5 yards a carry, as he normally does, who cares what's haunting?
Yeah, like a lot of things, success or money seems to solve a lot of problems, right?
And
so
winning, and
suddenly
winning.
Everybody is, you're winning games and you're getting a bunch of yards. Suddenly everything's good. But like Ben's, if it doesn't go that way, he starts to have games that we're losing that we shouldn't lose because we got a poor running game or whatever happens.
Right, right.
All the second guessing come out, and then it's just a big distraction at that point. It just
that's the last thing I want because I mean that the Vikings have had that so many years where it's this arrest or that arrest or Love Boat or Randy Moss gets cut and Childress is fired or you know Rick Spielman is saying you have to play this quarterback when Leslie. I mean, it's just play football, and if anything bad can happen, it feels like. Me, as an abused Minnesota sports fan, you wouldn't know what it's like, Marsh Hallberg. You're a Green Bay Packers fan.
He's got it
but
so
I
good.
Just worry,
everything in Wisconsin
just
rocks.
Except the Milwaukee Brewers right now. They're terrible.
I'm only a Packer fan. Everything else, I'm
okay,
Minnesota.
You're lucky. even Gophers?
Gophers, you bet.
Wow. No bad?
No, I went to college over here. I'm not...
But being a fan of these sports teams... We've talked about this several times. I'm always just waiting for the other shoe to drop.
Because it does not stop.
And it never stops here.
Look... We get Adrian Peterson into training camp, and we get him into games. A lot of this is going to go away, finally. It's been a long time coming, too. But I think that when we get him into shoulder pads, a lot of this is going to die down. He's going to settle into what he does best. His teammates are going to just say, okay, let's get over it. And I don't know if any of them have a problem with it, really. I don't know. I think our bunch would have.
At first, day's going to be awkward as hell.
I'll bet it's going to be. But when he gets back, I mean, he is the real deal. He's freaking Adrian Peterson.
But he still talks on the phone with a bunch of his current teammates right now. We're out of time. Marsh Hallberg, Hallberg Criminal Defense. I know you want to get to your tomato thing, so we got to do that. We have 1 minute, so no lollygagging around.
Okay, quick.
We have so many things to talk about.
Okay.
What is this called? Lead us on this little deal. Ask Mike Morris his question. And
okay, ready, Mike?
Yes, I'm ready.
Two names. One's a tomato. One's a metal rock band. Ready? Green Zebra. Saber Tiger.
I like it.
They're tough. Green Zebra. Saber Tiger. Which one is a tomato?
One's a tomato. One's a rock band.
Right.
Saber Tiger is the tomato.
You are absolutely 100% wrong.
Damn it.
Nice. What is this now?
Zebra.
3-3? 4-4? Something like that?
You're back
to
4-4. Yep. It's tight.
Back to 500.
Okay, you're back to 500.
Oh.
We were good. We stumped you, dude. Because you won the last 2 weeks in a row.
I know it.
Okay.
I was doing so well. Well, Marsh, thank you very much.
Okay.
We always appreciate you coming down to the office on
Marsh
Washington.
And
great place.
Anytime.
Great guys. Have a good weekend, my friends.
Thank
Marsh
you.
Marsh Hallberg, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Criminal
See you
defense.
Next week. Two unhappy
heirloom tomatoes versus rock bands.
Love it.
It's over with now. Marsh Hallberg. He always brings that to the table, and that's big. I mean, that's kind of like a sidebar for me. Get it?
I get what you said there.
You
we just got a tweet, and I'm trying to pull
sidebar.
It up here because this is maybe the sweetest. Okay. I work all day. This is from Eric Jokinen. Just tweeted us at 105
right,
The Ticket.
All right. Go ahead.
I work all day to listen to Jim Rich on 105 The Ticket on the way home, hoping for more role-playing today.
Well,
which is what happened yesterday.
We can do it again today. It depends on how Jim feels about it.
Jim Rich yesterday came on the phone. He was late, but he came on the phone as Ben Dagra.
I was Ben Dagra.
Oh, you're Ben Dagra?
He was Adrian.
Oh, he was Adrian Peterson calling Ben Dagra, calling the superstar Mike Morris. And so we'll have to do some more role-playing today just for Eric Jokinen.
Do you dress up for this, too, like heels and like hats and stuff?
I would if it came to that. If it came to a Bruce Jenner thing.
I'm kind of bummed I didn't get to do my underwear modeling today. But next week.
You can always do that.
Just say 105 The Ticket. We got to go.
105 The Ticket. We got to go.
The NASCAR Sprint Cup Series. Only on 105 The Ticket.
Joey Logano just screams out into the lead. McMurray's locked in the second. Matt Kenseth and Kevin Harvick side by side for first.
Sunday, the Sprint Cup Series races at the Monster Mile. The FedEx 400. Live from Dover International Speedway. Sunday morning at 11 a.m.
That's the battle for the lead at turn one.
This is Brad Keselowski.
This is Dylan Hart Jr.
This is Jeff Gordon.
This is Jimmy Johnson.
This is Kevin Harvick.
Your home for NASCAR in the Twin Cities is Sports Radio 105 The Ticket. Radioactive Sports in the Afternoon on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
Let me guess, a little love and tenderness? All peace and happiness. Cool.
Jim Rich is all about that. Love and tenderness, that is.
Mm-hmm. I think it's peace and happiness, but whatever.
Jim, are you in a wind tunnel, or are you just speaking through a vacuum hose?
Is it a little windy for you?
It sounds like it might be a little windy. Are you on the golf cart?
No, I'm outdoors, and it's a little breezy here. The cold front like is it. Coming through.
Are you trimming the lower branches from your tree?
Yes,
we don't need to go through that. We shouldn't go through that.
Well, here's the deal, Jim Rich. Just before you came on, Eric Jokinen tweeted at 105 The Ticket saying he works all day. He's a loyal listener, works all day to listen to you on with us every single afternoon at this time, and he was hoping for a little bit more role-playing. And I kid you not, it just popped up a couple minutes ago. He said that was some of the best radio he's ever heard.
It was, you guys have the technology to tap into phone conversations.
It's amazing.
So, I mean, maybe we could do another one right now if you want. You ready?
I mean, do we have anything queued up? I mean, I'm not really sure what we're playing right now.
Who are we going to tap into?
here's your role.
Okay.
Mr. Mike Morris, you are Ben Dogruff, and I am Rick Spielman, and you're about to give me a call. So
all right.
Go ahead. Dial me up.
All right.
Do you have his number?
I don't have his number.
Here,
hold on a second.
Is.
Just a second. Right here. Okay, hold on. Yeah. The phone is ringing now, Rick.
Ring!
Yeah, perfect.
I thought you were Rick Spielman.
No, I'm Dogra.
Oh, you're Dogra. Okay.
Yeah.
Ring!
Dogra.
Pick it up. Come on, pick it up.
Ring! Hello.
Hey.
Rick Spielman here, the
Dick.
General manager who knows the draft better than anybody else.
Let's enough of that. My client was drafted 8 years ago. Hey, listen, Dick, Ben Dogra.
Who?
Dogra, Ben Dogra. Oh, I'm funny. I'm funny like a clown. I'm funny like a clown. I'd settle down for a second. Let me tell you something right now.
Let me guess what you're calling about, Ben.
Oh, go ahead. Go ahead. You have three guesses.
Well, Benny, I can tell you the answer to any question you ask me. No, no, and hell no.
Well, let me explain to you about all those no's that you just answered to. Number one, my client is the only running back that's going to help you and your new quarterback in that entire offense through the next season. You're not going to get it done with Asiata. Is that how you pronounce his last name?
Jerick, have a seat in my office here. You've been doing a great job, son.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. He hurt his back about 2 weeks ago. It's all behind him now. But look, don't worry about it. That's not... Listen, you have to understand, my client is Adrian Peterson. Let's not talk about these other kids.
Okay.
All right, well, now, you can't go into the season without redoing a contract that I want done for my client because he got shorted $4 million of a $12 million contract last year.
Well, whip me with a stick. I didn't know that.
Holy God.
Come on.
Jeez.
That's
what?
Too much.
What? Well, listen, Mr. Spielberg, listen, you're not
Spielman.
In the movie. You're not the Spielman.
Spielman? Look.
Okay. Look, you
how
can't.
How long have you been at this agent business? You got to take
a long time, Dick. A long time. And let me tell you something right now. You don't need to talk to about my clients. My clients. Twitter behavior is also his emotions coming out, and I've encouraged him to do so. And I also would like to fight Rob Brzezinski. Is Brzezinski there right now?
Yeah, Rob's sitting over here.
Let me pass the phone over to him.
Okay, hang on a second.
All right.
Hey, Rob, you can use my extension, Rob.
Hello?
Hey.
Rob here.
Hey, Rob, let me tell Dogra.
What?
Dogra. It's
Dogma.
Listen, I don't
have a dog.
Don't be cute. Look, I don't have that much time. I got to go sit with my client in Texas and do nothing. Now look, here's what we want. We want we want the same contract. Last 2 years though, half of that's guaranteed, and an option for us in the third year.
Yeah, well, I got an option for you.
Son of a bitch! Well, who do you think you are? You know what? I should have kicked your ass in Indianapolis.
I know.
When I had the chance.
It was very upsetting. I was trying to eat my dinner. I was ordering sushi, and you came over and upset my dinner party. I was very upset about that.
Well, let me get something straight with you, Bob.
Yep.
Bob. Bob or Bob?
Rob, like I'm Brzezinski. Taking all your money, Rob.
Now, look, the understanding that we need to have by the time I'm done with this phone call is that we're gonna make sure that Adrian's guaranteed more money. I want more money. And you know, I just told Spielberg that you're not going to be able to get through a season with Asieta. And McKernan, that guy. You can't get through a season like that. Maybe Banyard, but you can't get through without Adrian Peterson for sure.
Well, let me tell you something.
You're not going to go into a season like that with Teddy Bridgewater coming along as well as he has.
You want something guaranteed?
I would.
Is that what you'd like?
I'd like something guaranteed, yes.
Okay.
I
can guarantee you that your client, will be a Minnesota Viking this year, or he'll be sitting at home. I think Coach Zimmer made that guarantee for your guy. So there's our guarantee for your guy. Either you wear purple or you sit at home. That's our guarantee.
You expect me to go back and tell? You expect me to go back and tell AP that?
Were you the one that negotiated this contract in the first place? We're just following the contract. That's all we're doing. Following the contract. We're going to give you your money. We're not telling you to renegotiate. We're not telling you to take a cut. Nope. We're just handing you your checks as you play each Sunday for the Minnesota Vikings and carry us to the Super Bowl. Can I get an amen?
By the way, we're listening into a little bit of a conversation from Ben Dagra and Rob Brzezinski from the Minnesota Vikings. Rob Brzezinski sounds like a complete boring... Let's get back to Dick Springfield.
Well, hey, listen, Bob.
Yeah.
Hey, Brzezinski, is Spielberg still there?
Like I'm taking your client. Rob.
Rob, is Dick still there?
No, he's out looking at prospects right now.
All right, well, listen here. I'm going to tell you right now.
You know what? North Turner's needs to make a phone call, so I got to get off the line.
Listen, get off the line then. You go ahead and get off the line. And you tell Zimmer this for us. For me and AP, tell him that we're gonna be talking about this new contract, and we're not gonna play football. How's that? You didn't think that my guy would say that, and that's what we're not gonna play anything for you guys, and you're going to have to go through the season with those two other running backs, whatever their names are. You tell him that, and you tell him that hell's following.
All I know is I get to tell Ziggy that I have a $12.75 million windfall in our budget for this year. He's going to give me a biggest kiss ever.
I'm through with you. I'm hanging up. You
Goodbye.
Son of a bitch. Bye.
Good. Right, I'm glad that was over. Jim Rich from Fox 9, my question for you is, what is the end game here with Adrian Peterson? Does he really want to be traded or play for the Dallas Cowboys, or does he want the money? I mean, because he can't have both. He either gets the money here with the Minnesota Vikings. Obviously, he's going to be paid $12.75. He wants to be guaranteed for the next couple of years after that. Is he trying to push his way out so he can get to Dallas, or does he want the money? I mean, which one is it?
I think it's the money. I think they're worried that, you know, he's looking at himself as still the best running back in the National Football League. And he needs some assurances that if he goes out and gets injured this season, and he'll get his $12.75 for this year, but none of that other money. Because the Vikings will say, well, you know, that's too bad, but, you know, we'll have to work out a settlement or something, but, you know, he wants more guaranteed money, that's what I think they're looking at. And had he not gone through what he gone through this offseason, the Vikings probably would have agreed and tried to work out a deal that would have gave them more salary cap and pushed more money into the future and gave him a signing bonus and, you know, giving him some more money. But because of what's happened, I think that phone call that we just did is pretty accurate.
Yeah, I would say so. Jim Rich from Fox 9. We have just about a minute left here before we go to Mike Berardino. Brett Favre was at Winter Park today. Any knowledge on what that was about?
Just what I read. I was off today, so I didn't see. All I've heard is that he was just in town for something else, stopped by, and wanted to say hi to the boys. But that's kind of interesting that he shows up.
Yeah,
maybe he sees that $12.75 sitting on the table.
he probably does. Knowing him, he would probably come back and say something like, well, I might come back,
Buy me a lot of Wranglers.
And, I mean, I don't know. Maybe I won't. But anyway, but that's, I just think
boy,
that...
you could tell him, you know, I could be pretty elusive in the backfield.
Yeah.
He probably could.
Man, too. I just got to meet Brett Favre, tweeted wide receiver Charles Johnson. Let's see here. Saw Brett Favre today, was too nervous to ask for a picture with him, so I thought instead about following him on the road. Am I crazy? Eight Vikings who were with the team during Favre's final season in 2010 were still with the team. Adrian Peterson, Phil Loadhole, John Sullivan, Everson Griffin, Brian Robinson, Chad Greenway, Marcus Sherrills, and Colin Leffler.
Wow.
So,
yeah,
interesting.
That's all we have left of the Favre era.
I miss him. Greatest quarterback in Minnesota Vikings history. Jim Rich, before we let you go, what's coming up this Sunday night, 10:35 on Fox 9 Sports Now?
Well, before the Twins head out of town, we're going to sit down and chat with Torrey Hunter after the third game of the series with Toronto. And so that'll be our main menu for Sunday night.
Sounds
sitting
good.
With Mr. Hunter to figure out how he throws those dance parties every night.
And whatever he was doing with those flaming skewers, whatever the hell he was doing with his son in where was that? Notre Dame baseball or what?
Yeah. Notre Dame baseball.
You might want to ask him about that too, and what prompted him to do that. Anyway, one of my favorite guys, tell him hi for me. And Jim, thank you very much.
No problem.
See you, James. Have a great weekend.
Jim Rich,
right,
everybody. You bet. We have Mike Berardino up next with Hardball. It's raining right now. Don't know what the Twins are going to do, what their plans are going to do, or be, rather. Will they wait for 5 hours and still play the game? Who knows? Mike Berardino just might know. He's next.
Passionate sports talk.
Joe Mauer is playing good baseball right now. He's very polarizing. You either love Joe Mauer or you don't. But Joe Mauer is playing good baseball right now. I know he's not a catcher. I know how much he's paid. But he's an important part of that Twins team.
On your sports station, 105 The Ticket.
Here for the Minnesota Twins today.
Time to oil up the mitts. It's Hardball with Mike Berardino.
Got information in the head of here, so I'm willing to learn it.
Definitely excited to have him lead the way.
Get your seam head talk right now on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
Well, it's that time, and I think you all know what I'm talking about. It's Hardball with Mike Berardino, and for all you seam heads out there that think they're going to play tonight, I quite frankly don't know if that's going to be the case, but you have a chance right now to ask Mike Berardino, our very own expert, a question if you'd like. 651-989-9105 is the number to call if you'd like to speak with Mr. Berardino and ask all the questions you need to get caught up, because they're going to, I think they're going to be canceled tonight.
Do you?
I do.
I when did you pass meteorology school? I did not.
Obviously, and some other types of school you didn't pass either.
Oh,
like congeniality school. But Mike Berardino, all you have to do is look down at your smartphone or your iPad or whatever you have.
Yeah.
Computer, laptop, it doesn't matter. Yeah, there are these things called weather apps that you can just type in and see the actual radar, and it just doesn't looking very good. There's about a 40, 50, 60% chance of rain all the way through 9 o'clock tonight. But when would be the latest the Twins could possibly realistically start a game?
This time, try to answer the question politely.
Okay.
Okay.
The other day, Terry Ryan, we had a rain delay in that one, too.
But they started at 8:38, I want to say.
Yeah, I know, but can I finish?
Oh, my God.
as we were sitting around with our Terry time half an hour before the original start time, he said, we'll start sometime. It could be 9, could be 9:30, could be 10. So I'll just tell you that there are curfews, and of course the Blue Jays will be in town all weekend. They have a day game scheduled tomorrow. It would be pretty easy to do a doubleheader tomorrow. But the Twins, historically, this place drains well. They really try to play these games. They've only had 15 even delays in Target Field history.
Wow.
So, we'll see. I know if we get to 6:30, Terry Ryan to be like, well, we'll play. It's just a matter of when. I got to think, unless you see some sort of hurricane coming this way. But I say all that, and I'll probably get banged.
You're probably right. And quite frankly, I don't see a vortex of any sort or a high or low pressure system rolling in.
Football plays in the rain.
We would play out there.
Baseball, as long as it's not lightning, why can't they just play?
Well, the ball, Ben, the ball is very hard. The hard ball, as you name the show, and
The ball is flying sometimes at 100 miles per hour, and if you're hit by that in the rain, the ball gets away. I've seen it. I once saw Milwaukee Brewers manager Craig Counsell, when he was playing, hit in the face by C.J. Nitkowski, now of MLB Network fame, and it was in a rain monsoon down in South Florida. They should not have been playing, and Craig Counsell ended up having to have surgery and had to have teeth. You know, he was spitting out teeth.
That's why people watch NASCAR. That's why people watch hockey. That's why people watch WWE and boxing. I mean, add a little bit of excitement to this this old crotchety sport we call baseball. I mean, they did the play clock to make it faster so younger generations, millennials, will watch the game. I think if you have some of that going on, I think people will like. I mean, I think people like that kind of stuff.
Yeah. I don't know if you heard the part about spitting out teeth, but maybe
that's my favorite part.
Okay, all right.
Spitting chicklets, that's a lot of fun. If you're in hockey, I think that's expected. But in baseball, I can't even understand how they could play in a slight drizzle, because I can't even imagine the pitchers can get that kind of speed going on a pitch, can they? I mean, with the grip on the ball.
Yeah, they'll play in a. You know, where as long as visibility is there, they'll certainly play in wet conditions. Long ago, you think about Tommy John throwing a great game in a monsoon for the Dodgers against the Phillies when I was a young boy, and they were not stopping that game.
Wow!
Because back then, I don't think they necessarily had a day off, but for travel, they would like sometimes travel and play. So that was in the late 70s. For those of you who were not born then, but it's. It's, you know, I'm not comfortable being a meteorologist. As I've said on Twitter, I don't do the green screen thing. I really don't know what I'm talking about there. So, and what was Ben saying in the intro? Because I did hear, because your helper called very early. I had to hear the whole update. And there was some mention about, I've got a sense of humor, and it's
very dry, very dry and weird.
Very dry sense of humor.
I think it was very dry and weird.
You're the one that asked for phone calls, weird. And I feel like people are just terrified to talk to you because you're so.
You guys are crotchety. You put them in this way. You know, Sansevier used to, when we did it with Sansevier, he used to welcome the calls, and some of our best shows were when the people would call in, because then that meant Bob wasn't asking the question.
Wow.
Oh, my God. You just
what
said that.
What a kind individual you are,
what,
Mike.
What a guy.
And you wonder why people don't want to call in and talk.
Oh, my God.
I mean, it took a year.
That was beautiful. That was a beautiful shot.
This is your second year, and people are catching on to you.
Yeah.
It is.
Okay.
It is.
Right.
Just to confirm that, yes. Now, listen, I do, for one, think that you are very talented and could be in front of the green screen. I also think that you're better on Twitter than Adrian Peterson. So I like where you're going with that, and I wish you would stop by the office from time to time for a burger and some camaraderie and some bonding so that we can finally get along, and you didn't come by.
If I had come by today, guys, I would just be just soaking wet, and I would not be fit to do my job. I would have melted.
And that's my favorite part. I was just going to say you would have melted because you're a wicked witch from the West.
Wow.
Okay. All right, made of wax.
I wouldn't want you to be shivering or anything like that up in the press box. So I'm glad you chose not to. It was the right decision, I think. But you are the best in the business. I don't think anyone knows more about baseball than you do, Mike Berardino. But you are cantankerous, and you're an evil man. Actually, I think you're an evil person. Really,
I think you guys have all the wrong adjectives on this, but that's okay.
That's all right.
You know, I know you're just trying to whip the people into a frenzy.
that's exactly what we're trying to do.
Remember Chris Colabello?
Oh, yeah. Oh, Cowbell, yes. More Cowbell. He is?
He plays for the Jays.
Okay.
Yeah, he's hitting .386, which would lead the American League by 25 points if he had enough at-bats to qualify. and so he's in very good spirits. Unfortunately, if they do show him without his cap tonight, an incentive for people who might tune in when they play, as I assume they will, just very late, he has a horrific haircut. He will tell. He admits it. He cut his own hair.
No, he didn't.
Why would he do that?
He did.
I don't know.
Oh my lord!
That guy.
What
he
in?
Took, he took clippers. Imagine this. He let it kind of grow out shaggy. You know, he had a pretty long Italian soccer guy hair at one point last year. But this time he went with the clippers on both sides, real short, and then he left it high on top. And he looks like an idiot.
Well, maybe.
Look who's talking.
I want to see it. I want to see it then. I can't wait to see him on TV if they ever play these games. But so Cowbell went with basically a mohawk.
It's not quite. No, it's not thin up top. I mean, it's not a narrow strip. It's like normal, thick, again, Italian soccer guy hair. And then on
weird.
The side, he just, he
that's
just joined the military. It's terrible.
Oh, my God.
Too bad they wear hats in the field and at bat.
It's like some sort of tribute to Joe Dirt or something. I don't know.
God.
He's got to be stopped.
That's funny.
It's really unfortunate.
Well, Mike Berardino, it's always interesting talking to you. Twins baseball every day at this time. Brought to you by Nature's Fury. NutriDrink vitamins have never, ever, ever in my life tasted this refreshing. Have a great weekend. Let's hope the Twins win another series, and we'll talk to you again on Monday when you'll probably be in Beantown.
I will. Talk to you then. Thanks, guys.
Be good, Mike. And that's a tall task to ask Mike Berardino to be good. But, he'll be out there, I'm sure, just throwing tea into the harbor.
That wouldn't surprise me. Yeah. He wouldn't be throwing tea, though, like everybody else. He'd probably be throwing
coffee.
Probably coffee or something valuable that people like.
Like money.
Money. He'd be ripping up dollar bills.
Just to be mean. He is a mean guy. There's very little about Mike Berardino I like. Next up, we have Tom Schreier. Ooh, here's a guy that I like. We won't be able to take him on.
I think you're a little early.
Oh, wait. Whoa. It's Mike's break. My bad, kids. We'll do a little Mike's break. Now, I was trying to get a Minnesota Viking player on with us and couldn't do it. It didn't pan out. But I think we can go back and revisit a little OTA this, OTA that. And I also like to kick around maybe a little more of the basketball theme that we've had going for the last couple weeks.
The basketball theme?
Yeah, the basketball theme. You remember?
What kind of basketball theme?
Well, that's the Carl Anthony Towns, Jahlil Okafor debate. So I think
that's
we can revisit that. Yeah, I think we'll do that. And we'll do that next.
There's Elvis. Elvis is here.
Elvis is in the building. Well, hellfire. Right here at Radioactive Sports. Come back.
Your all-day sports talk leader, 105 The Ticket. Back to superstar Mike Morris and Ben Holson on 105 The Ticket.
Welcome back. It's Mike's break. Normally, you can identify a Mike's break with a little some industrial grinding music like this, or a little heavy metal, or a little just some seriously hard rock, I suppose. But
why sometimes do you play "Girls Just Want to Have Fun"? Then
it's what I prefer in my private time, and okay. I don't know if that should have been mentioned or not,
that's exactly
what I do, and a little Cyndi Lauper on top of it. But when we broke last, I told you that we would probably touch off on some OTAs, some of the different things that we were talking about in the first hour, just to sort of reiterate what came out of OTAs, but also to revisit the possibility that we still have standing right in front of our very faces with the possibility of going with either the two big guys, your guy and mine, Carl Anthony Towns from Kentucky and Jahlil Okafor from Duke. But
I was reading the scouting reports on Timberwolves.com, so that was very interesting today. They did a very in-depth thing about one of their web writers wrote about what each player would bring to the team and all of these things. And so one of the questions that I had for you is, and we've talked about this a billion times, but what happens if you could have an unstoppable rebel force down there on the offensive side, or an unstoppable rebel force down there on the defensive side? I feel like it, to me, who I played basketball, it's easier. I don't know how to figure out how to say this. It's easier to teach somebody that has the want to and is already good at shooting. He has the best form of any big man I've ever seen. They said that on the website, too. The guy can nail threes. He just didn't do it because the Kentucky team was so stacked last year, and he only played 20 minutes, and Coach John Calipari said, you stay down in the paint, you don't move around, you don't do anything. We've got the Twins, we've got a couple other guys, so he didn't get the opportunity to really showcase what he has. So when people say Carl Anthony Towns isn't as polished as Jahlil Okafor is on offense, it's only down on the block. But if they do, if any other team double teams Jahlil Okafor, like these college teams did in the March Madness tournament, they shut him down. Or if the NBA just does the Hack-a-Shaq deal, which was happening in the NBA
playoffs.
Do you
think they'll do anything about that?
Why? If you can't make free throws, you're the guy we're going to foul.
But are they going to take that away?
No, they shouldn't. If free throws and defense are a huge part of the game, that's what wins defense, or that's what wins championships, that's what wins games. And if a guy can't shoot free throws, part of the strategy. You take advantage. I remember growing up, that guy can't shoot free throws very well. We need to foul him, and otherwise he's going to light us up. And so we'll just throw guys at him like crazy. It's part of the game.
Smart.
If you can't shoot free throws, we're not going to make the game easier for you.
That's right.
If you're unstoppable down there like Shaq, you give Shaq the ball, he dunks it, he scores every single time. You just foul him, and he can't shoot a free throw. Same with Dwight Howard.
Understood.
DeAndre Jordan, some of these other guys.
Do you think your impression of Jahlil Okafor is that he doesn't have the will to change or the attitude to change or to work or to have that ability? Which one is it? The defensive side of the court that you're talking about that he lacks so significantly to Towns.
I feel like
you don't believe he can ever get that or achieve that someday?
I feel like it's hard to teach hustle.
And you don't think he hustles or he wants to?
I don't think he does. Especially not on the defensive side of the ball. And even on the offensive side of the ball. I mean, he takes a sweet time to get down there after playing defense, after trying to, you know, oftentimes, especially on defense, he thinks he gets fouled and he's whining about what's happening. And the guys, well, the Golden State Warriors have already run down and hit a three-pointer or thrown it into Andrew Bogut. And they've already scored. And Jahlil Okafor is still down on the offensive side talking to the referee, still whining. I mean, that's the thing. Sure, he may score 25 points. He may grab 10, 12, 13, 14, 15 rebounds a game. But he's allowing that much, you know, that many points down on the defensive side. And if the Timberwolves are scoring 148 points, it's hard to win when you're allowing 150.
That's a good point.
They have a problem with offense and defense.
Flip Saunders is a very offensive-minded coach.
But I feel like Flip Saunders is old school, and I feel like the teams in the playoffs this year hit three-pointers, shoot a lot of three-pointers, hit three-pointers. It's the way the NBA is going, smaller lineups. And I feel like Flip Saunders said, you know, last year he didn't want his team to shoot a lot of three-pointers. They were the worst in the NBA in I can't remember, was it three-point attempts or three-point makes or all of the above, the percentage. It was just terrible. And so I love Flip Saunders as a guy, but it's like, dude, the NBA game is changing. You need to change. Or is Flip Saunders, and one thing I was going to ask you in 4.5 questions, but we ran out of time, is Flip Saunders thinking, okay, Jahlil Okafor is just going to be a beast down in the block. We're going to take advantage of these smaller teams because the NBA has kind of gotten smaller. Take advantage of these mismatches.
Physical mismatches. Nothing but post play.
I think Karl-Anthony Towns can do that. I think Karl-Anthony Towns can be just as effective on offense down in the block as Jahlil Okafor can.
I do too.
And I feel like he can be. His ceiling is so high. He can also hit three pointers. He can hit open jump shots. He can nail his free throws. He's great at defense. He's a game changer.
So later this month, June 25th, what do you really think right now, as you sit here right now? What do you think Flip is going to do?
He better take Karl-Anthony Towns.
You think he will though?
Yes.
Okay, there it is.
I think he has to.
I want him to pick Towns, but I think he's going to pick Okafor.
If he picks Okafor, what will your reaction be?
I seriously would be disappointed, but because I know that there's something pretty special out there that we could have had that we just walked away from because we had a chance for both.
And
we're going to be talking about it 5 years from now. Well, I do too. You can't lose completely on this as long as you pick one of the two guys. Who'd we have on the other day that said it's when you entertain the? It was Britt.
Britt Robson from MinPost.
That's who it was, and he was talking about the possibility of weighing into the third choice, that being
D'Angelo Russell.
Russell from Ohio State. Yeah. That would be a mistake. Yeah. That would be a mistake.
Well,
if one of the two big guys, you're not going to lose, and there's a primo guy standing right there, and it's right in front of your face, and it's Towns, and he can play both sides and play that way today.
Especially with the way the Minnesota Timberwolves roster is right now. They have guards and wings up the wazoo.
They do. That would be the wrong choice is going with Russell.
And obviously...
That's where I would be afraid if that ever... God, please don't let that happen.
Peck can't stay healthy. Gorky Jang, is he the answer? Is he going to play the four or the five? He can play both. Anthony Bennett, he's right up there with Corey Brewer for me, one of the most hated Timberwolves of all time. I'm just so disappointed in him. Adrian Payne, you and I both like him. We got him in the trade.
He was a rookie last year for Michigan State.
Yeah. What's going on there? Kevin Garnett, how many minutes can he play? You have Justin Hamilton. Are they going to bring him back? So, I mean, they're pretty stacked with young talent. When you talk about the talent, Andrew Wiggins and Zach LaVine and Shabazz Muhammad and Ricky Rubio, they're all guards and wings. Don't need any more guards and wings.
Agreed. We haven't had a true big man around here forever, if at all. And then also I wanted to touch off the OTA, so let's do that real quick. The first and foremost important thing, I suppose, would be that Mike Zimmer made the statement that he did about Adrian, is that he had two options. He could play as a Minnesota Viking, or he could go home and sit down and not play at all. And I think that is maybe the biggest thing I've seen out of OTA. Certainly, that's normally just a very blasé sort of, you know, that it's going to happen, and no one cares about 3 days of OTAs. But this one was kind of a big deal. They tried out TJ Clemmings at right guard, and they moved Brandon Fusco over to left guard. And I think that those are the two biggest keys coming out of the OTAs.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, Adrian decided he would go on Twitter and get mad about something that, quite frankly, we don't know why it came to be what it is now for him. He's been in this league a long time, and it's been that way forever. What does he not understand about contracts and how they structure contracts? But apparently he doesn't get it. He's never had to, because his money's always pretty much guaranteed, because he's been who he's been. That's why.
Now he's coming to the end of his his career.
He's never had to think about the next year of his contract.
Yeah.
Because they're always going to pay him, because he always lights it up. Anyway.
And I don't disagree with what he said.
Well,
really, I don't.
The NFL's got a bad contract. But understand, until they change it, that's what they do. And you're somehow educating the entire public and all the other younger players as to what they're doing. Well, tell your agent
to structure. He's trying to look like a hero is what he's trying to do.
We'll front load the contract and get paid less in the end of it. Maybe they'll do it that way. It doesn't make any sense. What does make sense for us is Tom Schreier is up next. Cold Omaha's Tom Schreier. He came in here wet. He ran through the rain to get here on time.
He's a great American.
He has no hamburgers, but he's a great American, and we're glad he didn't bring any food, because we're at the office on Washington and 3rd, and we wouldn't want him to bring food in here and get kicked out of the place.
I'm not even kidding you, and I talk about the food that they have here, but the best thing I've ever had, now this is going in our fourth week, I want to say, the fourth time we've been here, the steak salad.
I've had it.
It is not your mama salad. It is a big, heaping thing of gargonzola, and it had a pretzel breadstick that was like fresh out of the oven. It was so soft. Man, I was rubbing it all over my nipples.
You did that.
I know.
I saw you doing that.
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
I don't know why you did that for sure.
Why wouldn't I do that?
I don't know if we need to go into that or hear about it. What we're going to do is we're going to talk.
Then I got like a hair in my tooth as I was trying to eat it. I didn't like it very much. I was wondering whose hair that is.
Probably off your nipple.
It was my nipple hair. Yeah.
Yeah. A shame. We don't ever want to bring that up again, okay? Ever. We don't ever want to talk about that again. You're filthy. We're going to talk with Tom Schreier next. Come on back. It's Radioactive Sports.
Here's Sports Radio 105, The Ticket on iHeartRadio.
People ask what Omaha means. It's a run play, but it could be a pass play.
Young club here. We need somebody that can teach. Paul can do that. So I'd like to introduce the 13th manager of the Minnesota Twins, Paul Molitor.
Pretty cool. Very cool.
It wasn't nice of Terry to cut you off.
That was not good. Sam Ekstrom back at the house. Don't ever do that again. Or there will be a price to pay. I know that you're going to get married soon. That will not happen. That won't happen.
What do you mean it's not going to happen?
Well, there'll be a funeral. Sam will be in the ground somewhere. Okay. Hey, listen. Hey,
what?
That's the way it is.
Weren't you telling me? I completely understand that. Wasn't you yesterday telling us that Somebody got,
oh,
was going to
yeah.
get married.
Oh, I don't want to get into that.
Oh, that's bad. Somebody was going to get married. I won't say names. Somebody was going to get married. They had a bachelor party the night before. He ended up dying, and then they had a funeral instead of a funeral.
Oh, that's weird. That's a real story. Yuck. Yeah. No, I don't even want to talk about that anymore.
Well, let's move on then.
Crap the bed. I mean, where'd we go with that? Now, listen. It's either a runner or a pass. Let's do this right. Sam, you ever cut me off again, I swear I'll drive all the way back to the shop and whoop your ass. Listen. Is it a run or a pass today, Tom?
We're going to go with a run. I like the fundamentals today. It's raining out. You can't go pass way.
Good point. Terry Ryan, he makes some outlandish statements from time to time, but he's very straightforward. He doesn't pull any punches.
Yeah.
He's a straightforward guy. Do you agree with him or not most of the time?
You know what? I like his approach to it. I much prefer that than kind of this perfunctory, like, just coach speak or garbage you get sometimes.
Yeah.
If you're in control of a team, first of all, he does it the right way. Because he's always present with us, obviously, other than when he's going into the minor league towns to look at the players. It's a constant dialogue, and he's just straightforward, and he says, this is my plan, this is how I'm going to execute it. I think he really threw the throttle down in the offseason, knowing that you don't have the All-Star game. You got to get the season ticket holders back. You got to get people to walk up and come to these games. And you just can't be that bad for that long. And so he made a bold statement. This is before he got Irvin Santana, obviously. This is right after he hired Mulder. He said, you know, basically, we're thinking playoffs. Why would you take the diamond if you're just going to kind of, you know, putz around? And you can't take him seriously when you've lost 90 games in four straight seasons. And you haven't really changed that much. And the big change, obviously, is going to come in the youth, and he's in control of that. He, you know, obviously, it's his scouts and his people who are looking at these guys, drafting these players, developing them. I think, to his credit, and as I said this in the piece, Brian Dozier's turned out pretty well. Trevor Plouffe's starting to put it together. Kyle Gibson starting to put it together. Those are three of his guys. The key now is to make sure Vargas is handled well, Arcia is handled well, Alex Meyer gets out of the bullpen and into the starting rotation and is really able to use his stuff and is confident throwing over the plate. He's been up front with all of that. Again, he's not going to throw his players under the bus, and he's not going to have make a statement he has to walk back, but I think it's cool that he came in the offseason and said, we're thinking playoffs, and that he has confidence in his own guys and his players, and that he's not kind of put himself into a shell, I guess.
I remember playing that press conference live on our show and then laughing, going, what? Playoffs? Like Jim Mora, playoffs? Are you kidding me?
Playoffs?
I just want to win a game.
Playoffs? Let's talk about playoffs.
Yeah, very good.
You kidding me? Playoffs?
Sam,
just want to shout out the superstar again.
Sometimes. You can come back and completely redeem yourself. That was perfect. That was a nice way to cover up for the huge blunder earlier.
But
hey,
listen.
Well, hey, listen. I agree. I think that it's Paul Molitor, and Torrey Hunter also said it too when they said, we're not waiting around. We're not going to wait around.
Molitor said that, yeah.
And,
yeah.
And, and,